We are standing on holy ground today as we see the Son of God performing one of the greatest miracles of the New Testament. This, however, is only the forerunner of what will happen to every believer when Jesus returns in glory. We see from John chapter 11, verses 41 and 42, that Jesus stood before the tomb of Lazarus, and after the stone was removed from the grave, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe thou hast sent me." Before our Lord performed the remarkable miracle of raising Lazarus, he looked to the Father in prayer. Friends, we should never make a move without seeking the guidance and direction of God in prayer. Nothing is more dangerous for the believer than the neglect of prayer. If you are a stranger to prayer, you are a stranger to God and His power. Christ's prayer at the tomb of Lazarus was one of thanksgiving rather than petition. "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always." You see, our Lord lived in constant communion with the Father. Though he was one with his Father in his deity, yet he always gave thanks. The great majority of our prayers are crowded with petitions. It is amazing how many things we have to be thankful for, if only we would give them due consideration. It is said that Oliver Cromwell always prayed this prayer before meals. "Some people have food, but no appetite. Others have appetite, but no food. I have both. The Lord be praised." God has poured out His blessings abundantly. Let us do as we have been exhorted in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, tells us to give thanks for all things. We should not be murmurers, but praisers, those who praise God for whatever He sends. That the Father heard the Son always means there was never a time when Christ's prayers were not heard and answered in the manner in which He prayed. Now, this is not true of our prayers, for we do not always pray in the will of God. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." You see, prayer is not a magic wishing well. If we are faithful in prayer, the devil will try to get us to pray out of the will of God. For this reason, some prayers bring sorrow instead of joy. Recall the words of David as they're found in Psalm 106, verse 15. "God gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul." And in James chapter 4, verse 3, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." Balaam, the Old Testament prophet who was hired to curse Israel, kept begging God to let him go on a mission to gain the reward of King Balak. Well, God finally permitted him to do this, but restrained him from cursing the nation. You may be sure that God was displeased with Balaam and his diabolical request. The Scriptures give us the safeguard to protect us from this kind of praying. Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Some people are quick to see only that last phrase of this verse. This is not a blanket promise to get everything you want from God. It is a plea to yield yourself to the Lord's control, and He will put the right desires in your heart so that you will pray according to His blessed will. Verse 43 says, "Then the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth!'" You see, if it had been anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ who shouted this command, he would have been a senseless fool. But these words were spoken by the Son of God. The result was, that he that was dead came forth. How astounded the audience must have been. Someone has suggested that if our Lord had not called Lazarus by name, all the dead in the cemetery would have risen. Well, the day is coming when there will be a mighty shout, and all the believing dead will come forth from their graves. And we're told about this in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. The raising of Lazarus is but a foreshadowing of this greater event yet to come. Verse 44, our Lord said, loose him, let him go. For Lazarus was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. This was typical of the method of burial used by the Jews. Now, there are two important facts to be noted here. First, our Lord gave Lazarus life, and then he gave him liberty. Well, the same is true in salvation. When one believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the life of God is imparted to him, and he becomes spiritually alive. But not only does God give him life, he gives him liberty in the gospel. Listen to John 8, verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. How many there are who make a profession of faith in Christ, but never remove the grave clothes of worldliness, materialism, and tradition? Though they have been made alive by Christ, they bear the marks of death. Lazarus left the grave clothes at the tomb. Some who name Christ's name never enter into the joy of salvation or experience the truth of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We see that the miracle had a twofold effect, verses 45 and 46. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. How could anyone refuse to believe after seeing this amazing miracle about which there could be no doubt? Nevertheless, some did. You see, to some Christ is the Savior of death unto death, while to others he is the Savior of life unto life. How tragic that these unbelievers, rather than claim Jesus as their Lord, hastened off to the Pharisees to report what they had witnessed. But some believed on Christ. Had it not been for the sorrow of Mary and Martha, these who had believed might have had no occasion to come in touch with the Son of God. Nothing is ever wasted in the plan of God, not even sorrow. All things are purposeful that come from the hand of Him who is God of all. Now, there is no mention of Lazarus's experience during the 4 days of death. It would seem that God closed Lazarus's memory to his visit to the unseen world. Whatever the circumstances, it is obvious that he had nothing to say about them. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. There appears to have been a divine restraint preventing him from sharing the secrets of glory. Doubtless, the same was true of Lazarus. Now, this does not mean that there is nothing awaiting those who love Christ. The Bible has much to say about the future. The important thing is to be ready, to be prepared to meet God and to enter into His glory when the time comes. The true believer has a most blessed future awaiting him after death, but the unbeliever has only sorrow and eternal torment. Friend, I hope you're ready. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are ready. If you haven't received Christ, you need to receive Him right now and be ready. I hope if you've never trusted in Christ that you'll let him come into your life. God loves you. He wants to save you. And I read in Revelation 3, verse 20, where Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me." God gives you this gracious invitation today to let Jesus come into your heart. I hope you'll do it as we bow our heads in prayer. Blessed Lord, I pray for many who are listening to this broadcast who need Jesus Christ. Help them to open the door unto him. May they welcome him in. We know that he will enter the moment they say, "Jesus, come into my life and save me." May there be miracles today, arising from the dead, in the name of Jesus. Amen.